For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. It's a covered to be with you once again. And Bishus. The Lame Day Torah. So we're going to continue on a few more shilas that there are in Bishul Akum. And the topic I want to start to talk about today is the din of Oilal Shulchan Melachim. Is it a din on the min? Or is it a din on the specific Michael? In other words, can the same Michael be Oilal Shulchan Melachim if it's baked and be considered not Oilal Shulchan Melachim if it's fried? So, this, Rav Belsky has a fascinating tshuva, where he says that this is a chakira among the lamedim, what it is, and the tzad to say that it's a din in the min, perhaps, which is more lachumra, because if you find one type, which is ayla shulcha melachim, then all the forms of that min will also have a problem and be subject to bishalakum. That's going to be one of the tainas that Rav Belsky has. And the makar for that would be a reading in the Isser V'Heter and in the Aruch HaShulchan. So Rav Belsky says over what he heard from the Lamdim, and then he's going to say, they just didn't read it, and that's why they're saying. But there's no Havamina, there is no Tzad, no Shiter, says Rav Belsky, that you go by the Min. Everyone agrees that you go by the specific way that that Michael was prepared. And this is what he says. He says, we know the makar for it is L'chari the Ramah. The first Ramah in the beginning of Kuf Yud Bey, Sif Aleph, where the Ramah talks about pas which is made out of Eirez. And the Ramah says that pas which is made out of Eirez is not Oilal Shulchan Malachim. The problem is that Eirez, rice, is Oilal Shulchan Malachim. So the Ramah's passing the Farish. If you present rice as bread, that's not Oilal Shulchan Malachim. If you serve rice as rice, it is Oilal Shulchan Malachim. So you see the Farish from the Ramah, that you don't go by the min, rather you go by the specific oifen of how the food is prepared. The Shach in Sifkat and Hay brings down the Issa V'Heter, and he's Cholek, and he says that Pas Eirez is Asur no matter what, and the reason that the Issa V'Heter says is because Efsher Levashlai Ula'achle B'Teres Parperes. Because you can eat it b'teres parperes. So he's chaylik on the Ramah. The Ramah says pas of Eirez is not Eilal Shulchan Malachim. The Issa V'Heter says it is Eilal Shulchan Malachim because efsher levashloi, to take the bread and now cook it after it's already baked, and when you cook it and you make it a parperes, it would be Eilal Shulchan Malachim. The mashal that Rav Belsky says is if you take this rice bread and you stuff it into the kishka, so now it is Eilal Shulchan Malachim. So rice bread alone is not Eilal Shulchan Malachim. But take the rice bread, soak it in liquid, and add in a couple of things and cook it. Now it's kishka. It's rice kishka. Rice kishka is Eilal Shulchan Malachim. So therefore, the Issa V'Heter seems to say that rice bread is a problem because Efshel La'echle B'Teres Parperes. So some are medayik from there that he holds, you go by the min. And since as Parperes, if it would be a kishka, it would be Eilal Shulchan Malachim. So too, now that it's just rice bread, it's going to be Usser as well. But the problem is that the Shach clearly holds not like the Issa V'Heter. The Shach is Sifkatan Hey, which is not, he says clearly not like the Issa V'Heter. And now in Sif Kuf Yud Gimel, Sifkatan Beis, the Shach brings the Issa V'Heter regarding Kurkavan and B'nai Me'ayim. That even though Chazal say that Eichleihem Lav Bar Inish, if still it's going to be Usser if it's Nespashav Al Yidei Akum. So the problem is, it seems to be a steer in the Shach. Mitzad Echad, he's saying that you go by the specific way that you prepare it. Now, the one by Kurkavan, he's saying that if since some people eat it, it becomes Eilal Shulchan Malachim, and it's also, which sounds like you go by the min, which seems to be a steer. This is what Rav Belsky brings down at the Lamdim say. When he changed the pas into the kishka, you mean? Right. That's a story that we said in the past, but the Shaila is, once the din, Bishul Akum is chal on the rice, if you then change it into pass, so we discussed last week that it could be if you take, let's say you have matzah, which is pasakum, and you grind it up. There's some sheet that hold that once you make it into matzah mel, it's totally nishtan. It's a whole new panim chadash, it's bolakan, and therefore it would not be pasakum anymore. So I think that's where you're going. But from what I understand is we're not changing the pas and gansen. We're taking the rice is somehow mushed together, not make it into rice flour. They cook the rice, they somehow mush it, make it into a bread, and now they go and cook it again. I don't know what this pas ayres is exactly. I don't know. Okay, it's a good ha'ara. Okay, so Rebelsky says as follows. He says, L'chaira avada, there's two shachs that are right near each other. It's not shach that it's a steer. He's not one saying that it goes by the oifen that you prepare it, and the second time he says it's going by them, and that can't be. And he says, furthermore, to say, if we're saying that eklaim lav var inish, to say that he means that korkavan, you go by the min, because there are some people who are lav var inish who do eat it, right? Zavadi, you can't passel the whole min to make it a'ilah shulcham lachem because of some people who are lav va'inish. So it's not shaykh. So you have to sit back and think, what taka is the pshat in the shach? So he says like this. He says, even if you look at the issa v'heter, who's mechalak and says that the rice becomes kishka, right, and therefore the rice is taka problem, he says the issa v'heter is not the chalal saying that the rice when it's bread should be usr. What the Issa v'heter holds is talking about a whole nother shayla of parperes. Is parperes nechshav eilal shulcham malacha? Meaning something which is not the main course, and it's not even a side dish. It's parperes. It's something which is an appetizer. It's brought at the end on the V.E.D.'s table. It's brought beforehand, maybe. Is that considered eilal shulcham malacha? Because it's not part of the suda. So that Issa v'heter was clearing with that. And he says, since it's not the ikar hasuda, and some people hold that parperes is not Oyla Shulchan Malachim, Zakti Issa V'Heter, I hold that Paparis is also called Oyla Shulchan Malachim, and therefore he says that Kurkavan and Bnei Me'ayim are Oyla Shulchan Malachim since they are eaten as a Paparis. Sometimes when you go to the board, we have Grill Me'urav, right? You have no idea what's going on in there. Bnei Me'ayim, you have Kurkavan, you have everything, right? So when you're talking about Paparis, you do have It would be Eila Shulcha Malachim. So that's the Shaila that the Issevet is talking about over there. So what he means to say is that Vibalt, if you served it in a different Eifen, it would be Eila Shulcha Malachim. In that Eifen, it's going to be Usr. And what he means by the rice also is not that the bread would be Usr as bread, but that if you taka made it into Kishka, that's when it would be Usr. But only because he holds that Parperes is considered a problem. So Rebelsky says that there's no machlekes kuli alma maidu. Everyone agrees that you don it by the specific way the food is prepared, and therefore you're going to have rice. When it's baked, cooked rice, you want to have regular rice along with your chicken. That rice has to be Bishul Yisrael. But if you're going to make rice bread, since in that specific way of presenting it, it's not Eila Shulcha Malachim, that same exact min is going to not require Bishul Akam. And he says there's a riot to this also from the Aruch HaShulchan himself, who people say that Aruch HaShulchan says Faker. Some say that Aruch HaShulchan means that the min, it's chal on the min. But the Aruch HaShulchan talks about kartofelach, tapuchei adama, right? Potatoes. And he says that there's no Bishul Yisrael, no Bishul Akam on kartofelach, on potatoes, because it's a poor man's food. Only poor people eat kartofelach. So he says, you find that sometimes even a gevir will eat a kartoffel. He says, that's just because it's so commonly found that, you know, it's like a gevir eats peanut shoes too. It's something all over the place. They'll have potatoes, avada. But it's not a chashev and meichel. It's definitely a poor man's food. And therefore, he holds potatoes are not oyla ashulchan melachim. This is the Aruch HaShulchan. So,
does that mean that poor man's food is defined by the amount that it costs?
So we'll get to it in a minute. What exactly that means, but it definitely means it's lufi amakam lufi hazman, right? Because we're gonna say today potatoes are not the poor man's food. Today it's you get potatoes in the finest of restaurants. You get it sliced, a baked potato cut into eighths or quarters, right? All different types of ways of presenting it. So therefore, for us, we're nayeg that potatoes are eila shulchan malachim when they're served as a baked potato. But we'll talk about fried potatoes in a minute. So. Rivelsky says another nakud, he says that whenever you fry something, everyone knows frying is not healthy, right? It has all kinds of stuff in it. So if you go to a chashev v'chasna, they're not going to serve you fried potatoes. They're going to serve you steamed potatoes, baked potatoes, right? But not fried potatoes. So Zach Revolsky, fried potatoes are not going to be a l'shulchan malachim. So you take the exact same potato, slice it in half, put it in the oven and bake it, you have a problem of Bishul Yisrael. You need Bishul Yisrael. But if you take the same exact potato and you fry it, he says, there's no problem of Bishul Yisrael. Because fried today, in today's culture, is not Eila Shulchan Melachim, whereas baked is Eila Al Shulchan Melachim. The Rambam in Hilchas Macholes Asura is Perk Yed Zayin, Halacha Yed Beis, and Halacha Yed Tes say clearly that this din of Eila Shulchan Melachim is Toli B'chol Makayim, U'makayim Kefi Min Hagai. Every single Makayim according to the Minog, and that specific Makayim, and therefore you always have to question in your own culture, is it Eila Shulchan Melachim or not? There's a fascinating change in psak that just came up in the OU regarding potato flakes, right, which we'll talk about a bit more soon. But potato flakes, until now, the OU held does not need Bishul Yisrael, because the instant potatoes, which you make potato flakes out of, it wasn't necessarily Oyla Shulchan Melachim until recently. But now that it's becoming much more common in classy restaurants that along with your steak, you're going to get a scoop of mashed potatoes, which is made from potato flakes, rehydrated potatoes. So therefore, it's changing now, and therefore now it is Oyla Shulchan Malachim, and therefore the halacha changes because it's called Makayim U'Makayim Kefim and Hagai. The Roshna the Rambam. It goes according to the minhag in each specific location. So one of the fascinating things that are coming in is gluten free today, right? So you can get gluten free pasta, rice pasta. It's left more gluten free than regular pasta. So rice pasta in America, is it Oyla Shulchan Malachim?
Pasta
is Eila Shulchan Malachim. Rice is Eila Shulchan Malachim. But what about rice pasta? We go according to the oifen that you prepare it. So the answer is no. In America, a melech is not going to eat rice pasta. But what about in Thailand? In Thailand, that's what they eat. They eat rice pasta. So in Thailand, it is Eila Shulchan Malachim. So it comes out of Merde Kazakh. If you have a company in Thailand that's making rice pasta, it has to be done Bishul Yisrael. Because lefi the makayim and lefi the zman, it has to be Bishul Yisrael. Now, even if they import it to America, it still has to be Bishul Yisrael. Because the isser of Bishul Akam is chal bishman bishas that the Bishul when you make it, right? So if in Thailand it's Bishul Akam, if you import it to America, it's now going to be treif. Whereas if you make it in America, if you make it in America and you ship it to Thailand, it's going to be the reverse. That in, you're not going to have Bishul Yisrael in Thailand, because in America it's already chal heter, and therefore it's going to be okay. It's mamish negei halacha lemaisa. We deal with this every single day. If a company from Thailand applies for rice pasta, it has to be Bishul Yisrael. Now we'll see there's other heterim around that we'll talk about as we move along. Whereas in America it's not a problem. So oats is the chameshes mini dagan. So it's a shaila of pass, and then the question is nice. How do you define pass, and how do you define shlokos, right? So anything, if you eat too much, you'd be chayiv to bench, that's considered pass, and if you wouldn't have to bench, it'd be considered shlokos. If it's pass, it says pass palter's mutter. If it's shlokos, it's a question of bishul Yisrael. Bishul, okay.
The rice pasta comes up with it, I always imagine the rice pasta, because you really see a difference between the regular pasta. So when is the trend is going to change, let's say, people following up with the...
Yeah, just like they tell you the potato flakes, the psak just changed, because it depends on the makayim, if it is man, then yeah, that when it becomes more and more common in America, it'll become more of a... Right. Yeah, we'll talk about it soon, the cold potato flakes, okay. Another interesting shayla is regarding pumpkin extract. Pumpkin is something which is not nechal kamei shuchai, and it is Eila Shulchan Malachim. So pumpkin has to be Bishul Yisrael. But a common thing today is you make pumpkin extract, that people take the pumpkin, they cook it up, then they kind of make it into a puree, and take out the water, and then you have the essence of the pumpkin, which could be used as a flavor. So there, even though the pumpkin is Eila Shulchan Malachim, but you're not going to need Bishul Yisrael on that, because it's only used as a tuffel, right? The only din of Eila Shulchan Malachim if it's going to be the ikar food. So if you serve the pumpkin, it has to be Bishul Yisrael. But the extract, it's only a flavor, so that oifen of serving it is not Eila Shulchan Malachim. It's only tuffel to the ikar baichal, and therefore pumpkin extract is not going to need Bishul Yisrael. It's Oilah Shulchan Malachim. But because it's Tuffel, it's only a flavor to something else, like we discussed last week, that, you know, ketchup and mustard, things like that don't need Bishul Yisrael, because they're only they're a secondary type of a food, and therefore, even though they might be served Al Shulchan Malachim, there's no din of Bishul Yisrael. Okay. So now, we mentioned beforehand the Aruch HaShulchan that says that potatoes are a poor man's food, and therefore they're not Eilah Shulchan Malachim. The Chochmas Adam in Samach Vav says it is Eilah Shulchan Malachim. So the Machlekes is again, Kol Makayim Wachim Kfim and Hag, according to the Minig in each specific location. Lemaisa, all the Paiskim today in America and in the Western world feel that potatoes are Eilah Shulchan Malachim, and therefore if you're going to buy canned potatoes, Lemashal, from the store on the shelf, those canned potatoes would have to be Bishul Yisrael, unless you have other heterim, which we'll try to talk about a little bit more. So now we spoke about the oifen of preparation. So potatoes, baked potatoes have to be Bishul Yisrael. Canned potatoes have to be Bishul Yisrael as well. Those are all Eilah Shulchan Malachim. We do mechalik between baked potatoes and fried potatoes, right? What about potato chips? Do potato chips have to be Bishul Yisrael? Right? Well, how does potato chips work? You take it, you slice them up, you drop them into a big fryer, right? And are they Eilah Shulchan Malachim? No, they're not. They don't serve it at a state feast. They're not going to send it. If you go to the White House, they're not going to serve you French fries. Not for the paperas, not for the Iker Suda, right? And not for the smorgasbord. You're not going to get potato chips over there. So the same potato, if it's a whole potato, needs Bishul Yisrael. But potato chips don't need Bishul Yisrael. Now, of course, you know that the Haimish Hechsherim do put Bishul Yisrael on the potato chips, but L'chayr Meikar Hadin, it's not Eilah Shulchan Malachim, so it's something which should not have, and the OU does not do Bishul Yisrael on potato chips. So, Rav Belsky says that French fries are also not Eilah Shulchan Malachim. If you go to a chasna, says Rav Belsky, which table gets the French fries? Says, all right, it's Eilah Shulchan Malachim. So someone tined him, but what do you mean? You go to a posh restaurant and you order steak and fries. You see, it is Eilah Shulchan Malachim. So Rav Belsky says a spalt here. And he says, there's a difference if you're eating the fries because you want the fries, or you're eating the fries because you want the steak. But if you went there and you wanted to order lasagna, you wouldn't necessarily take chips along with it, right? It's a zach, it's a cultural thing that you take chips along with a steak, but because the ikar is the steak. Chips taste good along with steak. So since it's only there to be, so to speak, to give taste or to enhance the eating experience of the steak, that's not going to make it Eilah Shulchan Malachim Fakert. The fact that it's secondary to the steak shows you that it's not kosher. It's only there because you're getting a steak. First of all, that's a machlokes, and the answer is that no. The answer is that no, because it itself is not a chashav azach, it's only served to the kids. And that is the dakas of his spalt is exactly on that nekuda. That yes, it's served al shulchan malachim, but what's the motivation for serving it al shulchan malachim? It's not for the food itself, it's to enhance the steak. Enhancing the steak is not called peperis. Peperis is something you enjoy, this, you enjoy the herring on a cracker. That's called peperis. You enjoy, we had the small donuts last week. Okay, that's called peperis. But if you're only eating it because it's going to enhance another food, that's not called peperis. A side dish would be. But the side dish is because it's part of your ikar meichel. You're going to have your protein, you're going to have your starch. But chips, Rebelsky is saying, chips is not the pshat that you want your starch along with your steak. Pshat is your steak has to have chips with it. It's a din in the steak. If you don't eat chips with your steak, it's felt in the experience of the steak. It's not a real zach of a steak. And maybe that's not called Eilah Shulchan Malachim. Yeah. It's a good point. You're tapping into something right. You know, there's something, the eating experience as opposed to the food itself. Okay, so when we talk about home fries, okay, let's talk about home fries. So what is home fries? It's basically...
Sometimes
you
do deep fried, some don't actually.
Okay, so if it's deep fried, pashtus is not healthy, right? So that l'chayra might not be Eilah Shulchan Malachim if you go to Velsky Svara. It's not fancy, no. You get it at Muncie at a bris, but don't call that fancy. Okay. So talking about potato flakes, so there's two types of instant potatoes. There's a type of instant potatoes which needs hot water to become roi lachila, and then there's a type which only needs cold water to be roi lachila. So the Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Afkas Reichel, Simin Lamed, was asked regarding grain which were partially cooked by a Eina Yehudi, and then they dry it to a point where it's no longer edible. It's just so dry, almost like pasta, which was brought up beforehand. It's not edible anymore. So if Yisrael goes and cooks it, would it be Bishul Yisrael? Because, yes, it was Roi L'Achila beforehand, but then it dried. So now in the current state, it's not Roi L'Achila. Is the din Bishul Akum Mufka Mafkiya as a paka from it? Because Yisrael had to bake it now. So the Afkas Reichel is Mehases. And he says he doesn't want to be matir, but he hears it's sad to be matir, but he doesn't want to be matir. So Shevet Levi writes, brings down this Afkas Reichel, and he says, Rabbi Yosef Kari is Lashitasai. So Machlekes Machaber and the Ramah, if the goy cooks the first chalek, and then the Yisrael does the Gemar Bishul. So according to the Machaber, it's still a problem. According to the Ramah, it's not a problem, because the Yisrael doing the Gemar of the Bishul is going to be matirit, right? It's going to take off the din Bishul Lakum. Even though the goy cooked it Kemachal Ben Drusoy, right? The goy cooked the Kemachal Ben Drusoy, Zakhtar Machaber, okay? Chal the din Bishul Lakum. Even if the Yisrael does the rest, it's going to be us. The Ramah says that no. Since it still needed more Bishul, the Yisrael did the Bishul, it's going to us. Now everyone agrees that if the goy cooked it Kamachal Ben Yisoy, it's straight for the Yid. The Yid's not allowed to eat it. It's only if the Yid is Moisif and he adds on more Bishul, then it's Mafkiya L'Mafreya or Mikanu L'Haba, or perhaps you could say it was never even Chal the Din Bishul Akum. Now this is going to be a very interesting concept over here. How could it be that if the goy cooked it, kemachal ben drusay, it's treif, a yid cannot eat it. Now if the yid goes and cooks it more, it suddenly becomes kosher. How could that be? So you see from here, yisoid in the geder of bishul akum, that bishul akum is not like any other machalis asuris midraban. It's not like chicken with cheese, which is also midrabanan. It's different. If the Chazal were only kaveya, the din bishul akum, when you get to the point where you're ready to eat it. So memela, if the guy cooks the first, kemachal ben drusay, and then later on the Yisrael finishes the process, and that was the kavana lechatchila, that the Yisrael is going to finish the process, in that case we're going to say that the iser of bishul akum, maybe, was never really chal be'etzem, it was chal efshe, you know, is like a chalais, which is waiting to be chal. If you don't finish it, then it is treif. If you don't, otherwise it would be. So that's what the Ramah holds. Oh. So memela zakt the Shevet Halevi, that the mechaber in the Afkas Reichel, who was mehases to say that this tefuah that was cooked and then dried out, if a Yisrael finishes it, might not be okay, is only l'shitasai that holds the Yisrael finishing the bishul is not mafkiya, the din bishulakum that was already chal on it. However, if we go like the Ramah, that the Yisrael finishing it off is mafkiya, or is megala that it was never chal, however you're going to learn, then let's go back to our case. You had this tevua that was dehydrated, and now the Yisrael finishes it. According to Ramah, it's perfectly fine. So it comes out of Moedik Azach. According to Ramah, pasta, which was mentioned beforehand, according to Ramah, is not a problem, because even though it was cooked beforehand, but it was dried out afterwards, and therefore, it's not roi lachila l'chayra when it's dry. If the Yisrael now cooks it, it's going to be bishul Yisrael according to the Ramah. Oh, zokt revelsky. Now let's get back to potato, instant potatoes. Since it's made in a way, they took the potatoes and they cooked it lagamri. Right? It was oila shulchan malachim as a cooked potato. But then they continued to dehydrate it. And they made a not roi lachila. And now the Yisrael comes in and pours in hot water, which is being goymer the bishul. He says that's going to be considered Bishul Yisrael, and Yisrael could eat it. However, he says if it's dehydrated potatoes that could be reconstituted with cold water, Vavelsky says that's not considered a Maisa Bishul of a Yisrael, which would be the Gemara of the Bishul to be Mafkir the Din Bishul Akum. The Din of Bishul Akum can't come off with cold water. It can only come off with hot water. And therefore he says the Chiluk is that hot water to reconstitute would be mutter, Bishul Yisrael, but cold water would not be. Now this takes us back to another shiloh regarding Rice Krispies. The way you make Rice Krispies is you take rice and you cook it. And after you cook it, you then take those pellets and you put them through a puffer, which basically takes the grain of rice and helps it expand, okay? And then they dry it. So it's really the rice itself, which you're still eating. So by the way, this is why some Rav Belsky held, this might be a chiddush to some of you, Rav Belsky held that Rice Krispies you make mezainis on. Why? Because just like rice is regular cooked rice, you make mezainis on it. He held that Rice Krispies is regular cooked rice, which is just dried out, and therefore Rav Belsky always held that you make mezainis on Rice Krispies. I'm sure some people might find that interesting, but that's a kedai to understand the idea here. But the question now is, Bishul Yisrael, l'chayra, if you buy Kellogg's Rice Krispies, the rice, when it's cooked, is chal on it and then bishul akum. Now you take the rice and you put it into this puffer and then you dry it out and now it's roi l'achila. So l'chayra, the din bishul akum, which is chal on the rice, should still be there. And it should be a problem. So, the svara that the Paiskim say is as follows. Just like we're saying that according to the Ramah, if the guy starts the bishul and the Yisrael is goymer the bishul, we go by the Gemar, and we say it's considered Bishul Yisrael. Let's take the exact same concept and talk about Rice Krispies and say, look, yes, the guy cooked it, but that's not the Gemar of the process. The Gemar of the process was the puffing it and the drying it. On puffing and drying, there's no issue of Bishul Akum. And therefore they say, we can apply the same concept. The Gemar was not done by the Akum. And the Gemar that was done was not something that needed Bishul Yisrael. So just like the Yisrael's Bishul at the end takes off the Bishul Akum from beforehand, so too the process at the end that does not require Bishul Yisrael would take off the Bishul Akum that was Chal at the initial stage of the process. So you see, this is a little bit of a stretch of a concept. Exactly, and that's the Chiddush of the Svara. Good question, and I don't have a good answer for that, other than to say, one is a hot process, one's a cold process. That's the only chiluk I could think of. This is Rav Belsky and Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter. Yeah. Okay, Rav Belsky says another svara to be matir Rice Krispies, which will make you think. Rav Belsky says azai. He says, when you have boiling hot rice, can you eat it? Now, is it roi l'achila? No, you're going to burn yourself. So kol zman that the rice is boiling hot, there's no iser of bishul akum chal on it, because it's not roi l'achila. The din of bishul akum is only chal when it's edible. Kol zman that it's boiling hot, he says it's not edible. Memela, the iser of bishul akum can only be chal at a later stage. At the later stage, it's already being puffed and dried. By the time it's roi l'achila, this different process is done to it. And b'meilo, the initial bishul akum is not going to be chal on it. And the lashon that Rav Belsky wrote this in English, but what he wrote is that the iser of bishul akum only begins after the food finishes cooking and cools down. This is going to make you think for a very long time, okay? That's exactly the chiddush. He's saying any food, the iser of bishul akum is only chal after it cools down. Cold mind that it's boiling hot, there's not going to be an iser of bishul akum. Half full of a fella. So this is a merdeka chiddush.
It's a hefter for any cooked food out there? No.
Well, again, if you're going to eat it, that's a raya that it cooled down enough to be eaten. It's only negeya where you're going to change, where the process continues. And it continues while it's still hot, then you can say, okay, so the bishul akum was never chal, because now we're already drying it and puffing it, it's no longer bishul akum matzav anymore. But avad, if you're able to eat it, then avad, does haste, it cooled off enough to be eaten, and you're going to be, it will be very lachila. Okay. Okay, it's an interesting shayla, just came up. We background to the Shaila is that there's sometimes Hashkachas piggyback on each other. So, you know, an on company is under, let's say, the Chafkei, and they make a product, and then the company says, well, we have another customer that wants to have to OU, so the OU will trust the Chafkei, so to speak. You know, we'll go in once or twice a year, but we'll trust them that they're going in much more often, and they know what's going on. Not talking about any specific age, I'm just explaining how sometimes things work. Okay, so one of these companies, we found out that they're making French toast. French toast. Okay, where did you learn about French toast in Hilchos? Cookie and base, right? It talks about if you have challah, lechem, which you put egg on top of it. So we had a machlekes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber says that it's mutter, because chazusa lav milsahi, and the Ramah says it's a problem. You need Bishul Yisrael. And then we spoke about last week, the Aruch HaShulchan, who says, and others who say they're only arguing if it's a thin layer of egg, but if it's like our challahs that we buy in the store for Shabbos, that have egg painted on it that you can't even see it, that kuli alma moida, that egg does not need Bishul Yisrael. It's considered tuffel, chazusa lav milsahi, on that type of egg. It's only if it's mamish a thin layer that it's going to be a problem. Okay. So if you make homemade French toast, right? So what do? Homemade French toast is you take a bowl, you crack a bunch of eggs, put in some milk maybe, right? You soak your bread in it, and then you dump it in the frying pan. You flip it over, you take it out, right? So that has a very thin layer of real egg. That's the metzias of what the Mechaber and the Ramah are being chaylik on. The shaila is, though, in a company setting, number one, the egg is not that thick. And number two is the recipe for the egg batter is 1/3 eggs, 1/3 milk, and 1/3 sugar. And they mix it all together, they'll drop the bread in it, and then they'll fry it. What's that?
Powdered milk.
Powdered eggs. Okay, so that's a nafkamin, that's going to make a nafkamin as well. So now, this hashkacha, this other agency, by mistake, didn't realize what they were doing, or someone, it was a manual error, and they gave the hashkacha to the French toast, and now, b'di'evad, we have to figure out, well, is it kosher, or is it not kosher? So l'chayra, you could say, what the Mechaber says in Kuf Yud Gimel, Sif Beis, that if you have a tarayves of some minim that are ilah shulcham malachem, some minim that are not ilah shulcham malachem, you go by what the ikar is. If the ikar is oila shulcham malachem, then you need Bishul Yisrael. If the ikar is not oila shulcham malachem, right? Same thing with nechal kamay shulchai, whatever the ikar is. So, over here, the ikar is the egg. L'chayr, the ikar is the egg. So if it's the egg, it's a problem. We have to know, since it's there's something there, maybe it does need Bishul, according to the Ramah, it's going to need Bishul Yisrael. What? Oh, so it goes by the ikar, not by the roif. That's the chiddush of the Mechaber, is that it goes by the ikar ingredient, not by the majority ingredient. The egg is vavada. The egg is the ikar. You don't go by roif, you go by ikar. So therefore, l'chayra, it should be a problem. Buying French toast from the store should be a problem. But the Shechta came up with another svara as follows. And he says, remember, what was the aside that we said started off with Bishul Akum? That it goes by the specific way that you prepare the eichel. So if you take a hard-boiled egg is an egg. That needs Bishul Yisrael. But what if you crack the egg and you mix it with 1/3 milk and 1/3 sugar? And then you fry it and make a scrambled egg. Is anyone going to eat it? No. Is it going to be Eilat Shulchan Malachim? No. So this specific way of presenting the egg as batter on the French toast, that oifen is not oila shulcha malachim. And memela, it's not going to be a problem of Bishul Yisrael. So even though the Mechaber says that putting egg, a thin layer of egg, the Ramah holds, is going to be a problem, but when you mix that egg with other ingredients, that in that mixture as of itself would not be oila shulcha malachim, then even though you put it on your bread, the Ramah is going to agree that it's going to be mutter.
Why don't you look at the egg and say it's butter to the bread? And say because the bread is a lashon hamelach and the whole thing should be...
Very good. So that is a kasha that the Poskim ask on the Ramah. I'll be able to come back to that if we have enough time and talk about it a little bit more. Okay. Another fascinating discussion in the Heintege Poskim is Hashlachas Kisem. How do you do Hashlachas Kisem in a massive factory that has, you know, tons and tons of product going through it all the time? So what is done, there's two eitzes that are done. One eitzah is what's called the light bulb, that they install a light bulb inside the oven, and that light bulb is left on, it's turned on by the mashgiach, and it's left on, and therefore whenever the guy turns on the fire, turns off the fire, the kisem is there, lo'ilam vo'ed, and it's going to be considered shirachas kisem. The other thing is called a glow bar. And that glow bar also gives some heat off, and therefore that's going to be the shlachas kisem. That's the sheet of Rev Heinemann, and we're going to talk about Rev Heinemann's sheet soon. I'm going to talk about Rev Belsky, why the OU does not hold of this. Rev Belsky holds that that's not called Hashlachas Kisei. Why? So he says because the Mechaber writes, both? What's that?
Both are not considered?
Both are not considered. You'll see in a minute why. Oh, so that's what we're going to talk about. So the Shulchan Aruch in Siftes, Kufya Bay Siftes, says that Hashlachas Kisei works. Why? What's the lumdus of why Hashlachas Kisem works? Because it's a heker that pas akum is aser. Okay. So, Hashlachas Kisem pashtus means you have an oven baking bread. You have bread by an akum in the oven. If a yid comes by and throws in a little piece of wood, that's a heker that on them you're not allowed to eat the bread. That's a heker that pas akum is aser. So, if that's the case, if that's how it works, what if you threw in the twig before the bread was put in? And now the guy came and put in bread 20 minutes later. Do you have any heker that pasakim is usher? No. So says Rebelsky, if you put in a light bulb, which is turned on before the oven's turned on, or you put in a glow bar before the oven's turned on, that's not called Hashlachas Kisem. Because it's been on, it's on for the last 365 days, since the Mashgiach turned it on in 2015. And when you go and the guy puts the bread in the oven now, there's no heker that pas akum is going to be usher. Hang on, let me go a little bit further with this. So that's the Rav Belsky Shita, that these glow bars and the light bulbs don't work b'chal, they're not considered pas Yisrael, it's not considered bishul Yisrael, because there's no heker, since they're being put in before the food is put in the oven. So what's the other option? You turn on the light bulb after the food's in the oven. So that will work, maybe, for the first time that you bake in the oven. But once you take out that batch, the next batch, the light bulb's on already. So you're not really accomplishing much by having the glow tube. All you're getting is one batch. So that's why Rebelsky holds that it's not really an Eitzah to do it. Another Nekud that he has is Hashlachas Kisem is the Pshat, you're throwing it into the fuel. You're enhancing the fuel of the fire. But if you have a light bulb on the side of the oven over there, and the fire is coming from down and below over here, how does that light bulb misyachis to this, to show that this fire is fire of a goy? It's just bechlal, not, there's no shaykhus bechlal. The glow tube is on the side, right? The glow bar is on the side, and the there's no shaykhas to the fire, so he holds it wouldn't be a heker, and therefore it's not good. Okay, so I lamaisa shlachas kisim does work. So the tour, we know the tour in the Yerdeya Kufyud Beis also brings on the rush, that the rush doesn't hold of shlachas kisim bechlal. He holds it doesn't work. And he holds in order to do pas Yisrael, it has to be mekarev bishulei. Whatever the yid does has to be mekarev the bishul, meaning it has to be enough of a involvement that it's going to cook faster because the Yisrael is involved. Whereas the Mechaber goes like Lekula, like the Rambam, that just a heker. You only need a heker. That's the Machlek. According to the Mechaber, you need a heker. According to the Rosh, you need Mekarev Bishulei, but we, Lemaisa Paskin, that you need the heker. Lemaisa, this Rosh, which seems to be a Chumra, is really a Kula. Why? Because we know there's various types of pilot lights. We have the old ovens, which our bubbies had, that if you pick up the front of the oven, you'll see a single pilot light in the middle, which kind of feeds all four burners, right? If you remember some of us who are dating ourselves now, right?
What had it? That oven also.
That's right. Okay, probably in the last Gilgal, though. Okay, yeah, it was an old oven. Okay, so that light bulb, That pilot light, when you turn on the flame, or if a guy, your cleaning lady now turns it on from that light bulb, that's not, l'chayr, that's not hashlachas kisem, because that light bulb has no shaykhis to the cooking. That's called Eish Me Eish. Eish Me Eish, we learned, is only maybe a heter b'di'evet. But l'chatchila, to go and say, you know, the guy should take the yartzeit licht on the side and light the fire with that, that's called Eish Me Eish. That l'chatchila we don't do. So what type of pilot light could be, as azach, would be the type that's mamish underneath the pot. That the pilot light itself, the heat of that pilot light could go up and touch the pot. And now you're being marbe by adding in more gas, then maybe you have a heter of, so to speak, being of ashlochas kisein. The Meister of Belsky again held, not that way, he held that because those small pilot lights can't do anything. And it's not being the kar bishuloi, it's not helping the bishul bechlal, it's there beforehand, so it's not a hecker that the bishul of the akum or the pas of the akum would be usher. And therefore, Belsky hold that small pilots are no good. The only pilots that are good are the ones on commercial ovens that you'll see in a restaurant where you could literally take a small little pot of water and mamish put it on the pilot light and it'll boil by itself. And that alone would taka be considered the yid did something to be makarev bishulai. And the klal that he says is, well, you have to adjust the amount of heat that you give to the fire because of what the Yisrael did. So if you have that commercial pilot, then yes, you don't need as much gas to be put in. But if you have a regular home pilot, you do need the same amount of gas because that pilot doesn't do anything. And then Mela Tzarev Belsky holds that a small pilot light means absolutely nothing. Whereas Rav Heinemann is chaylik. Heinemann holds, he agrees that the pilot lights in the middle of the oven are not Eish Mei Eish. But he holds a small pilot light on the side, it still is a hecker. It is far to hecker that it's, what a yid does is that what the guy does is not good and that you need to have another fire started by a yid. Correct. So if Heinemann holds, it's still okay. Now, there's a fascinating shayla, which I'm sure you talked about, which is, what does Bishul Yisrael need? Does Bishul Yisrael need that a yid turned on the fire? Or does Bishul Yisrael need that a goy did not turn on the fire? The nafkamina is going to be if a computer turns on the fire, or a time clock turns on the fire, or turns on the oven. So if you need a maisa Yisrael, then a time clock or a computer turning it on, it's not going to be Bishul Yisrael, because you need Mamish and Maisa of Bishul Yisrael. But if what you need is that it's not a goy, then it would be okay. The Yid makes a hecker if it's the Eish of an Akum. Okay, so hang on, we'll come, I'll be mitaretz what you just said as we move along. Okay, L'maisa, Rav Heinemann, all the Heidegger Paiskim say you need a Maisa of a Yisrael. Yisrael's Maisa is what's required in order to make it Bishul Yisrael. It's not enough that it's not a goy. So if it's computerized, it's still Bishul Akum. Now, what if a Yid programmed the computer? So the Yids today programmed that next week it's going to turn on. So is that called a Maisa Yisrael to turn on the oven? Now it's a computer. So once you did it, okay, so listen to this Mardi Gazach. Okay, we're going to go off topic for a little bit just because it's a very geshmaka discussion. You can go to the stores and you can buy what's called a Shabbos mode on your oven. Now, we all know the Shabbos mode is not a Shabbos mode, it's really a Yom Tov mode. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to use it. You can only use it on Yom Tov. But it's called Shabbos mode anyway. How does the Shabbos mode work? You're pushing buttons. You're programming your oven on Shabbos, right? On Yom Tov. How could you do it? The answer is because it's a grumma. And grumma is mutter on Yom Tov. The way the oven is programmed is that when you push the button, nothing happens for, I think, a couple of seconds, 10 seconds, or whatever it is, 8 seconds. So since there's a delay from when you push the button until anything happens, so the fire gets higher, gets lower, that's called grumma. And therefore, grumma on Yom Tov is mutter.
On Yom Tov, you press the button?
The Shabbos mode is to, which is Betzem, a Yom Tov mode, is you're actually pushing the button on the oven.
Digital button?
It's a digital button. They turn off the display. Right, and you have instructions, push 3 times for 2 seconds each, whatever it is, and then hold it, and then you're going to see your flame gets bigger. Okay, this is what's called a Shabbos. Now, Lemaisa, I'm not going to say names, but almost all Paiskim today hold you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it. It's in every store in Muncie that sells appliances. They're going to sell you an oven or refrigerator with a Shabbos mode. Okay? It's good to know. 99% of all Paiskim hold you're not allowed to buy it. But yeah, you can use it during the week if you want. Yeah, for sure. Okay. There's other Shilas too, but I'm talking about this Nakuda of Grama. Now, what's the Shila of Grama? When you push the button on the Shabbos mode, right? Is anything happening right away?
Yes.
Of course. Because how does it know to wait 10 seconds to turn on? Right? So you don't see what happened, but it happened. So that's the Pesach who holds that it's okay. He says, well, since you can't see it, it's not there. It's on a molecular level. It's on the electrons and neutrons moving. And therefore, it's like bugs that you can't see. If you can't see a bug, you're allowed to eat it, right? So too, if you can't see the electrons moving through the wires, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's what he holds. All the other Paiskim say, it's chitzov. It's a din of chitzov. If you shoot an arrow, right, and it only hits someone 10 seconds later, are you a murderer? There's a delay of a few seconds, but that's chitzov, right? It just took time till you get to it. So when you push the button on the oven, they say, that's chitzov. You are the one who turned on the fire. So this is a big machlokes between Rav Heinemann and Rav Belsky, whether grumma on a computerized massive is considered a grumma because it's delayed, or do you consider it kol lechitzav, chitzav, and therefore it's going to be a problem. Oh. So one of the things that other hashkachas do, if you can't have a yid to go in and turn on the oven, is what's called the Shane machine. There's a chash of a yid in Lakewood called the Behuda Shane who designed something that the mashgiach, the company tells the mashgiach when they want to bake or when they want to turn on the pots. The mashgiach dials a phone number and then he pushes in a special code and then the oven turns on in Honolulu. Gevaldike kunst, right? Because now you don't have to spend $1,000 to fly a mashgiach to Honolulu every time you have to turn on an oven. Sip just dials a phone number and he pushes the code. Okay, so this is called the Shane machine. Rav Heinemann says, doesn't work. Because there's a delay between when the mashgiach pushes the button until the fire turns on. That's a grumma. It's not a Maisa Yisrael. Rav Belsky says, chitzav. It's chitzav. It's mamish l'shitasam. Gevaldik. No? Geshmak? Okay. We're running late, and Reb Yitzchak told me that I should leave time for questions this time. So maybe I'll just finish off with one more shaila regarding Sfardim. You know, the Mechaber holds that turning on the fire is not enough for Sfardim. It's the Ramah that holds it's enough. Nafkamina is that a Sfardi has to be the one to put the food on the fire. The fact that the Yisrael lit it, which is what we do today, and the Goyeshe waiters or whatever put the food on the fire, that's good according to the Ramah, but not according to the Sfardim. There are restaurants that I spoke to the Mashkiach there, and he says to me, you know, it's very rare that a Talmud Chacham, a Sfardi Talmud Chacham comes into the kitchen and says, can you please make sure that you are the one that puts my food on the fire? Most people say, you know, oh, the restaurant's under Hashkacha, you know, for sure it's going to be okay, but they don't realize that the Hashkachas go with Ashkenazi Halacha, not with Sfardi Halacha. So I once was by a wedding in a Chashva wedding hall, and I asked the Rav HaMachshir, it's in a predominantly Sephardi neighborhood. And I asked him, can you explain to me how you cater to the Sephardi community? Because according to them, you know, it's not enough that you come in at the beginning and just turn on the fire. So he got really mad at me. And the conversation kind of ended with that. But the Nikuda is that just because it has an Ashkenazi Hechsher does not mean that it's kosher for Sfardim. Now, what nafkamina is when it comes to canned foods. So we mentioned canned squash, canned potatoes, canned sweet potatoes. These are foods that need Bishul Yisrael. But there's no way any Yisrael is picking up those cans and putting them in the oven. There's about 100,000 every hour going, whatever it is, every day. There's no yid putting 100,000 cans in the oven. So how does it go in? It goes on a conveyor belt. It comes off the processing line, right? The cans get filled, capped, zoom, straight into the oven. Goes through this whole tracking system, through the steam and through the hot water. And it comes out an hour and a half later, cooked, right? So Yisrael turned on the boiler. That's only kosher for Ashkenazim. It's not kosher for Sfardim. So we said potatoes, sweet potatoes, and squash are oila shulchan melachim.
They use cans.
They're cooked in the can.
You're talking about a can that has no yuan.
Yeah.
No, but
I'm saying
that
the
potatoes
are oila. Yes. We assume it is the potatoes. Again, the can is not. No, they're not going to serve you the can.
But
the potato is a regular potato, which is simply they put water in the can with it, and then they cook it in its own in that water, and then you just open it up. You have to ask this individual chef. But the assumption is it's at least a lay plug. Okay, so Rav Bakshi Daron has a tshuva about this. Rav Velsky has a tshuva about this, and Rav Velsky says that it's a problem. That Enochanami, Sfardim are not allowed to eat the canned foods that the Ashkenazim eat, because for a Sfardi, he has to mamish put it on the fire. Okay, there's a lot more to cover, but time is late, and if anyone has any questions.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.